97 The Fan. Worked yesterday out in training camp, hot all day. Had to do some TV stuff. Got home. My wife wanted us to have a game night with the girls. We were chilling, playing cards, and then my phone just went bananas. It went bananas because my friend Jordan Schultz broke the news that Terry McLaurin had requested a trade from the Washington Commanders. If you don't follow Jordan, you can at Schultz Report, SCHULTZ_report. Jordan joins us now. Jordan, what's up, man? Thanks for making time. I know you're busy.
I hate ruining family game night. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, man. Unfortunately, this was not a surprise to me. Like, this was kind of the playbook that was in front of Terry, and there was some question if he was going to go this far. But if you know how NFL negotiations work, I didn't find it shocking. Take us through kind of gathering this information and where you think things are headed.
Well, I think you have to understand the context of the entire situation, and Commanders fans are smart enough to understand as well that, you know, Terry has been one of the premier receivers in the league for a long time. The team is in a position where they have to make a decision now, okay? They have to make a decision. Do they want to be in the Terry McLaurin business or do they not? Because you can't have your cake and eat it too. In other words, if you want to be in the Terry McLaurin business, then pay the guy. If you don't, then trade him. But it's not good for the locker room. It's not good for the culture of a team that you feel you have changed to be in a spot here now where basically you're telling your premier receiver and you're telling the rest of your team that we're not going to pay guys market value. So it's a spot that I don't think anyone's surprised that they're in because Terry has said publicly he's frustrated, but it's also a spot that I think they could have avoided the team. And they let it get to this position, and now it's week one of preseason.
As you look at the other receivers that have signed deals, what is market value for a guy at Terry's? And you know they're using the age thing, so what's the market value there? Mm-hmm. Is it what the player or what the team thinks?
Right now, there's seven $30 million receivers in the league. And my belief is that we will have a lot of $40 million receivers in the near future because that's the nature of the cap. It goes up every year. And, you know, you asked about A's, B. Mitch. You know, teams and players and agents, this is a tale as old as time, are always going to disagree about age. I think if you're the Commanders, you have to make the decision of whether or not you believe Terry in years 7, 8, and 9 is going to match Terry in the years 1 through 6. So let's look at the facts. He comes off his best season. He's an All-Pro, and he hasn't missed a game in 4+ years. So that's where I think most fans, it feels like, or all the Commanders fans probably feel the team needs to understand. And you know, the argument that he shouldn't get a big deal because he's going to turn 30, if you want to make that argument here with the Commanders, okay, you can make that argument. But also, I think it's important to understand that, you know, he started his career in a different position in the sense that he didn't play his first 2 years at Ohio State. He hasn't had a lot of miles on his body, and he hasn't missed a game in 4+ years.
Certainly. It's a complex situation, man. We're talking with Jordan Schultz here, who broke the story of Terry McLaurin's trade request last night via the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. You know, you and I were at Eastern Motors a couple weeks back when Terry spoke and was clearly frustrated. And I think one of the things that really stood out to me was Terry talked about, you know, I was at OTAs, and I really thought this thing was going to get done, and I was just kind of practicing with my teammates in good faith, and then it all kind of changed, and it seems like there hasn't been any progress. Two sides didn't talk for a while. Do you think, have we reached a point where things between Terry and the Commanders organization are unsalvageable?
No, I don't know if they're at that point, because the bottom line is, JP, what's best for an organization is either get a deal done sooner than later or trade the player, and which is what I was trying to say earlier, right? And if you're the Commanders, I think you said something that stands out, good faith, where he was there for the minicamp, right? And, you know, this is an ownership group, a new regime that has stressed the word culture a lot. I don't know if it's unsalvageable, but I would say that it's not good for Jaden Daniels, your superstar young quarterback, who's going into year two. It's not good for him to not have reps with his number one target. It's not good for the locker room to see that Terry, who's been, you know, really the face of the franchise and, you know, hasn't had the same starting quarterback in here in consecutive years. It's not good for them to see that. It's just bad business. So if you don't want to be in the Terry McLaurin business, fine. I think it's just that you can't have both, you know, like you can't underpay a guy so much so, and then not trade him. And I think that's what's probably really frustrating for Commanders fans, I would imagine, and you would know better than me, but it feels to me like this probably could have been avoided had the team got this thing done much earlier. And I would also say that, because I've been asking around on, like, what's the market for Terry McLaurin? What's the level of interest? And a lot of teams would have a lot of interest, not only because he's a caliber player, but in the modern day NFL, you do need two number one wide receivers. That's really where this thing has gone. But it's not, it's a fair question to ask if it's unsalvageable. I don't know the answer to it. But I would hope that it's not, just because of what he's meant to the organization.
But if you look at the flip side of that, there could be people out there that said that the team is, they offered made an offer according to what they feel is best. And if Terry wanted to be there, he would be there. What would be your thoughts on that?
So, man, make sure I understand. You're saying
offer because they're looking the offer at was... and they're saying this is what we think you're worth. And he's like, well, I'm not going to come, and he's not there. So I'm just saying it's people on both sides of this thing. It's not everybody on Terry's side, not everybody on the team side. It's kind of split. So I'm wondering what would be your thoughts if people say, well, he could be there.
No, but what I would say to that is, you know, look at Cincinnati, for example, with Trey Henderson, where, you know, similar type of situation, all pro player, third contract, and extremely productive. And, you know, the thing about these deals, these long-term deals, is that the team ultimately controls the back end of the deal. In other words, you're really signing that guy to an extension. How is he going to be in years 7, 8, 9? And the same with Cincinnati. You know, the Cincinnati situation with Henderson, you know, it's not totally congruent, but it has some similarities. So, you know, and if you're Terry, you know, he is there now. You know, he did end the holdout. He's obviously not practicing, but he did end the holdout. And I think it was a good move for him to be there and showcase that he wants to be there for his teammates. But there's absolutely a sense in that locker room of, why aren't we paying 1.7? I mean, I'll tell you that, having navigated this thing, I think everyone in that locker room believes that he should be taken care of.
Talking with Jordan Schultz here. You can follow him on Twitter at Schultz_report. Check out his podcast with Draymond Green. There's a ton of content Jordan's putting out every day. And obviously last night broke the news, Terry McLaurin looking for a trade. So let's talk numbers here, right? Because for me, just as an observer of this with some knowledge of things, guarantees should be the driver, but it seems like AAV is the driver. Is there a guaranteed money amount that gets the deal done? If they get to $55 million guaranteed, like, to me, if you're Terry McLaurin and you are turning 30, I think he's an absolute baller and he's an outlier in the age discussion, but the age is the reality, right? Like, if there's $55 million guaranteed on the table, are you walking away from that? Is there a number that they have that is simply unbreakable that has to get to?
Full disclosure, I don't know the answer if it's an absolute number that has to be there guarantee-wise. But, you know, a lot's been made about DK Metcalf's deal, and he got 33 per year with $60 million fully guaranteed. So, you know, if you look at that number, you look at that contract, I think that would probably be what needs to happen for Terry. I don't know if Washington says, to your point, JP, here's the guarantee. Well, you know, what is it going to take? And it, let's say, you know, you draw 55. I don't know if that gets them in the building and if that gets it done. But I just don't think the Commanders have been even close when it comes to what Terry is looking for. And what I think the argument that he has made has been, you know, not just the quality of play, but the type of person and leader. Mm-hmm. But I wish I could. I don't know the answer. Full disclosure: if this is going to be a guarantee and this will 100% get it done, I don't know the answer. But I would say that the DK deal at 33 per year with the $60 million guarantees is probably congruent.
That it's remarkable because if you. Like, it's easy to point to the DK deal. And I think in a lot of ways, as much as the Courtland Sutton contract, I don't think helps Terry's camp. I think the DK deal really kind of doesn't help the Commander's camp, right? Because Pittsburgh traded for him, and then therefore, you got to do what the guy wants to get it done. Like, if you're going to trade for somebody, you're going to pay him. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And yeah. this situation is just so different. Do you think Terry's prepared to sit out games? Like, if this really just keeps going, everyone I've talked to with Washington is that they're not trading him. So do you think this goes thermonuclear and Terry would actually sit out games in the regular season?
Mm. I haven't gone there yet with them because, you know, if you're thinking about we're going, you know, early August now, I actually haven't asked that question. I would say that when you request a trade, you're doing so because you're not only frustrated, but you've evaluated your whole situation and realized that this is about like being valued and being, you know, respected. And the best way I would answer that is if you ultimately decide to miss a game or miss games if you're Terry McLaurin, then it probably comes back to the fact that this organization, you know, hasn't valued me the way that I have earned. And so the reason I think that's really important is because a lot of times there's so much more than this, than just money. And I think this is one of those situations. You know, money is obviously the headline. That's the driving force of all these deals. But JP and B. Mitch, as you know, Terry is a very prideful guy. And I think he has always played with a chip. And I think there's a sense of not feeling valued by the organization. And again, money obviously is like the central part of that. That's the headline, but it goes beyond that. It's a sense of respect. It's a sense of doing things the right way. And when you produce the way that he has, I think it's really frustrating to basically not feel like the other side is valuing you properly.
But what if they were to go out and start seeing and calling people about a trade and they can't get what they think they should get for him and the people aren't willing to give it, will he think the other people aren't valuing him as well? Or do they want them to give them permission to go seek a trade?
Well, there's... You know, since last night and today, I've talked to a number of teams just trying to navigate this thing of who would be interested in Terry McLaurin. There's a lot. And it's interesting because it's not all the teams you might necessarily think. You have teams on the cusp of winning, but you also have teams that want to put money in with quarterbacks on rookie deals. You know, which is similar to Washington. Now, Washington, I think they had the type of season last year going to the NFC Championship where, in many ways, they outperformed what everyone thought. A lot of teams are looking at that saying, well, if I had a receiver like Terry McLaurin, then maybe we could get there. Maybe I could elevate my rookie quarterback or my rookie quarterback deal. So if you mentioned the point with DK, and this is always the tricky part with making a trade to a star receiver or a star player who is seeking a new deal. As you know, like, it's not just I'm getting a new player, it's now I have to pay him. So that's the tricky part with these contracts. Mm-hmm. But I've talked to, let's say, five teams now, five legitimate teams that would say, I'd really want Terry McLaurin. And I'm not saying all five of those teams would be able to pay him what he wants, but there's enough clubs out there that would say, I would be able to give the compensation we'd hope for, that Washington would hope for, and then in return, you know, get something done with Terry long term, because that's what we feel is necessary. And obviously, you're not making that deal unless you feel you can get a deal done long term.
That would the team hypothetically you're discussing rhyme with Boo Wingland?
You know, I was wondering when you asked about the pass. Here's what I'll say about the pass. They ran on Calvin Ridley, didn't get him. They ran on T. Higgins, didn't get him. We know that they signed Stephon Diggs. They have some young receivers there. But, you know, that's obviously been a team that has really wanted to add a bona fide number one wide receiver for Drake May. But that's an example of these, you know, like, if you're the Patriots, you have – a 4-year window now with Drake May, because you control his rights for the next 4 years. And that's, you know, a lot of these teams, you mentioned Courtland Sutton earlier, you know, Bo Nix going into year two, a lot of these teams with young quarterbacks, this is the window to strike. And that's why I think it's so frustrating for the Commanders fans, that they feel like we have the quarterback in place, we have a really good roster in place. This should be a straightforward deal to pay 1.7.
Last thing, Jordan, do we know, it's one thing to request a trade. Do we know if the request has been granted? Because generally what happens is you request it and a team says no, or a team says sure, your agent could call teams. Do we know where that is?
I don't know where that is yet, having, you know, just been last night, but I think definitely some clarity there in the next day or two over the weekend. How about this, JP V. Mitz, because I'm a big fan of the program. Let's get me on next week.
I think we can do that,
man.
We can do that. Who knows where this thing's going?
I would love to. And
let's hope if you come on next week, it's to tell us about the extension Terry just signed.
that would be great for a lot of Commanders. Because you said it's split, but is it safe to say that, at least on social media, I've seen that really the majority of Washington fans have been saying, let's just get this thing done and make sure we take care of him?
Definitely.
A lot of people say that, but there's a lot of people that are saying what he's worth and what he's not worth and things like that. It's a ton of them that call into this show on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think the emotional side of this, everybody supports Terry for everything he's done here, right?
Yep.
But I do think at the same time, people are like, man, this is really getting far down the line here. I think people 100% want Terry on the field. And, it's a what I'm trying to say throughout, this is a really complicated deal to get done because it's not free agency, right? Like, it's not like Terry could be like, yo, the Pats are going to give me $35 million. That's not where they are right now. And that's why I'm curious if this gets there, because he is under contract, and you hate to see it go that way for Terry. It's a guy I've covered since his rookie season. I know his family, but it's a tricky situation, man.
Yeah. It's I don't think a lot of people anticipated that it would be in this spot. I think he's obviously meant a lot to the community, meant a lot to the franchise, and I think it'd be really interesting to see obviously what happens in next month, but also, you know, long-term, what happens with the Commanders now with Jaden Daniels and how they navigate this thing, because he has he had an incredible year. They had an incredible year together, and obviously you want to build off it.
Yep.
Jordan, thank you for the time, bro.
All right, Jordan, I appreciate you, man.
We will be in touch.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Take care. That is Jordan Schultz. Broke the news last night that Terry McLaurin has requested a trade. Here's the deal. Phone lines are packed. We're going to take your calls. We're going to react to that news. I am not surprised at all that there'd be a significant trade market for Terry McLaurin. I'm also not surprised if there is no trade market for Terry McLaurin because they won't trade him. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.